Welcome back to this week's episode of Elexified, a place for fashion podcast. This is your host, Lexi Silverstein. I have the pleasure today of talking to a high-profile news anchor in the nation's capital. Allison Starling is my guest today. She's a five-time Emmy Award-winning anchor of the ABC station in Washington, D.C. Allison started as a reporter at WJLA in 2003 and then moved to the anchor desk a year later. She's married to Peter Alexander, the co-host of the Today Show, Saturday Editions, and an NBC correspondent. And they live in Northern Virginia with their two daughters, Ava and Emma. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you, Lexi. You did good research. All of that was perfect. Exactly right.
Thank you. Yay, thank you. Okay, great. Allison, we'll get to the more serious stuff in a minute, but first, a quick personal question. I love your daughter's middle names, Ava Starling Alexander and Emma Pink Alexander. Obviously, Ava's middle name is your last name, Starling. Such a cool last and middle name. And then Pink. I love Pink as a middle name. Ava and Emma are beautiful too, but how did you come up with their names?
Oh, thank you. I love that question. So, right, Starling obviously was like an obvious choice because I'm an only child. I don't have any brothers, anybody who's going to carry the Starling name, and we love it, which is why I kept it. Peter still, after 9 years of marriage, once in a while says, "You sure you don't want to change your name to Alexander?" I'm like, "I'm good." But so that was obvious for Ava. And then Pink is actually a family name too. So my husband's mother was Terry Pink. That was her last name. His grandmother was Etta Pink. And so it's a great, just beautiful family name that's also kind of hip and fun. And when we named her, I had so many friends like, "What, do you just like the singer Pink? Or like the color? What's the deal?" And I was like, "No, it's actually a family name."
Well, that's such a fun family name. I wish my last name was Pink. That'd be so much more fun than Silverstein.
I guess Peter could have had it. He would have been Peter Pink, which is
kind of my gosh. That's too good. That's so funny. Okay, now on to your career. When did you know you wanted to be a TV anchor or reporter? Is this something you knew as a kid?
Yes, always. I can remember in elementary school, you know how they do the announcements at school on TV. We didn't really do it on TV. We kind of did it over the loudspeaker, you know? And I loved it. I just, from the beginning, I love the idea of knowing things before everybody else. I thought that was so cool, like that you have the opportunity to get information and then disperse information. And that was something I really liked from the beginning, and the fact that it seemed exciting every day as opposed to a desk job. And I knew I didn't have any strengths really in math or accounting or science. And so, yeah, it was something I always, always wanted to do. And honestly, sometimes I pinch myself that here I am doing it.
Oh my gosh. That's, I love that you started it in school. I was also a part of my like announcements every morning, and it was such a production. I remember we would record things and we'd have cool music every night, and it'd be so fun.
And you always knew what you wanted to do, right?
Yeah. So I'm fortunate because I've always known what I wanted to do for a living since I was little. My mom always says that ever since I could crawl my way into her closet and make my way to her shoes. And then I started a fashion blog when I was 13. So what advice would you give to young college students who are going to college but really aren't sure what they want to do for a living? And how did you find your, I know how you found your passion, but any advice for those who don't quite know yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more common not to know than it is to know. And even if you think you know, you may not until you actually get there, do an internship, or get a sense of what the job really is like. So I would say just don't rush yourself. I think people feel pressure even as like freshman and sophomore. You know, you got to pick a major, you got to know what you're doing. And really, you have time. So just explore and really just find your passion, because once you start working, once you start your career, you know, it's going to be your life in many ways. And so you want to do something that you love and that makes you happy. So think about it that way. And, you know, your strengths are typically going to help guide you. The things that you really are good at are going to be the things you love to do. And it may not necessarily be, my 7-year-old already thinks she wants to be a paleontologist.
Oh, wow.
And my husband and I are like, and she says, I want to go to college in Utah because they have dinosaur bones. And we're like, okay, well, we'll see if this lasts. Who knows?
Oh my gosh.
And maybe it will, or maybe it's the beginning of many, many changing interests. But I would say just keep your interests as broad as possible.
Yeah, so that's so funny. A paleontologist at 7. At seven, I was probably like, I want to be a president or a rock star or something, a princess. I don't know, something super random.
Of course. Well, this is my 5-year-old, really quick. She's on Zoom kindergarten. Can you say hi?
Hi. Hi, nice to meet you.
Is she pretty?
Say hi, Lexi.
Hi.
This is Emma. So, Emma, we're doing an interview. Yeah, Ava loves dinosaurs. You love what? Babies.
Aww.
Okay.
Sorry about that. No, oh my gosh, she's the sweetest. Well, let's talk about social media a bit. I know you are on Instagram and Twitter. By the way, you can find Allison on both of those platforms at Allison7News. You are also on Facebook.
Right.
Are you required as an anchor to be on all social media platforms? And do you do all your own posts? If so, how do you manage that with anchoring the news, taking care of your daughters, public appearances, life? That's a lot.
Yes, we are required. Mm-hmm. And I say required just in that I'm not sure there's anybody who would even consider not doing it, mostly because it's a really good avenue to promote stories that we're working on, which when I first started in this business, it didn't exist. Social media didn't exist. And the only opportunity you had to tell someone, like, you've worked on a story and done interviews and produced a piece for 2 months. And the only way to let people know it was going to be on TV was a commercial or maybe a spot on the radio or something that would say, tune in tonight. Well, now we have all these social media platforms. So that say, you know, here's this piece we're working on, and people can be interested in a certain topic and tune in. So we all do that. I say that, but, you know, all the stories and things we post on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter about a work-related thing, it never gets half the interest that a personal post will get, right? Post with the kids or me and my husband, people love to see that behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Glimpse of like what people are doing on their time off. I do my own posts. However, we have a social media team as well, a media, a whole web team. So a lot of the posts are a combined effort. Like today I'm working on a Memorial Day piece honoring women who served in the military. And so our web team is helping me produce some good content for the web about the story that's airing tonight. And then on the side, I also do my own posts. So it's a combination. And it's, you know, I think people your age, it's really second nature to post on social media. It's like, it didn't happen if it's not on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And that's not the case for people who are older because it wasn't around, you know, when we were first starting out. And at first it was really just pain in the butt and a cumbersome, like, here I gotta write a story and I gotta do this, now I gotta post to social media. But you just kind of gradually learn how to fit it in. So I'm trying to get better about it and more creative. That's something that I'm very kind of straightforward with my posting, and not as much creative with it. But, and also it takes getting used to sharing personal stuff, you know. When we first started, that just, now it's like everything's an open book. But it wasn't always like that for us. So I have to get used to figuring out what I'm comfortable sharing.
Right. Well, don't worry, because social media, I grew up with social media, and every now and then there's a new social media platform and I have no idea what I'm doing. Like the most recent one is Clubhouse, and it's like it has a bunch of clubs and people just go on and talk about things, and I have no idea how to work it. I'm so scared about how to work it. And I'm like, I might know Instagram like the back of my hand, but these new ones, they are something else.
How I feel. Yeah, it's just a learning process.
Yes, definitely. Well, your daughters are young now, and they're growing up in this social media world. What do you worry most for them as they grow up? in this social media world, and kids having cell phones, being on Snapchat and TikTok at such a young age.
What do you worry about? Because it's, I mean, in the news business, we are on top of a lot of the problems with this stuff, right? We're always doing stories about privacy, privacy issues, you know, risks to kids, predators online, and all of that stuff. When you cover it and you hear stories of people who have been victimized in one way or another, it's very scary. And I would love to shield my kids from a phone and from social media forever, to be honest with you. but I know that's not possible. So I would like to wait as long as I possibly can to give them phones. But I think for safety purposes, when they get older, it'll be good. And maybe really having a tight monitor on what they can do on them. And I'd really like to keep them from doing social media as long as I can. I want them to enjoy themselves and have a social community, but I just think parents who are not on top of every single thing their kids are doing online are, you know, burying their heads in the sand because they're exposed to so much that the parents could never imagine unless they really are on top of it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. And I don't care if my kids are like, Mom, get out of my business. I'm going to be like, too bad. Too bad. I know where this can lead.
It's my business too, guys. Yeah. Well, no, definitely. And I have a lot of younger listeners who, you know, they struggle with mean girls or mean anything through social media, especially. Girls and women sometimes don't always support each other as they should, especially not in middle school, high school, and even college. I know the news business has a reputation as being pretty cutthroat too. Can you tell me if you ever personally struggled with any mean girls when you were younger? And then even as you were older, navigating your way up to the main anchor position at Channel 7?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right that women, especially young kids, boys and girls,
yes,
are still learning, you know, social norms and what's appropriate and what's not. And kids can be very mean, and teenagers in particular. And it was the same when I was a kid, but we didn't have social media, which can really amplify all of that. And so for me, you know, I will say the women, and I don't know how all local news markets are, but for DC, the women here are very supportive of each other. And we have a group that we bring together news women from all the different TV stations where we're normally competitors. And we all come together, we raise money for breast cancer with a big fundraiser every year. And we call it the News Bash. And we bring people in and we all wear pink. And it's like this big, awesome party with all the different stations. And everyone's really supportive of each other.
That's amazing.
So I really, yeah, like, and when I first started at Channel 7, there were several older female anchors who had been there a really long time. And I was young, one of the youngest people there. And they were very supportive of me and took me under their wing. And the best thing I have tried to do since then is to repay that to all the younger people who have come in after me. There's room enough for everybody if you work hard. So I think, you know, to the younger people who are dealing with that, the best thing you can try to do is not entertain it, not listen to it. If it's on social media, block it out. You know, if it's in your life, move on. You don't want to be with any friends or guys who don't support you and make you feel good about yourself. It's just not worth your time.
Exactly. Yes. That definitely was something that I feel like I had to learn a lot more throughout high school and middle school and college, is that just, it's not worth your time. If it's not making you feel good, move on.
Exactly. Totally.
Well, with social media, do you ever struggle with feedback from viewers or people on social media? Because we all know people can be very mean online, and sadly people in the media, especially the last several years, have been unfairly treated. How do you handle any negativity?
So when I first started on anchoring the early morning news, it was pre-social media, but there was email. And I got emails that I saved, and I used to read them if I had events or functions where I was speaking to a group, because it made people laugh. Like, they thought I had to be making them up. It was like mostly about clothes. It was like critiquing what I was wearing. You'll like this as a fashion person. And I'm thinking to myself, you're probably some guy who's like in your mother's basement in your sweatpants, and you're writing me when I get up at 2:30 in the morning and have to get dressed and put on makeup and do my hair, and you have the nerve to criticize my clothes. but it was like, they're actually really comical looking back now, criticizing, like, someone told me my dress looked like his grandmother's house coat, and someone, I mean, it's hysterical.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of that when I did the morning show, because people watch morning news very habitually. Mm. Every day they watch the same time, same people, and they feel like they know you. And it's almost like this comfort level of like, oh yeah, I know her, so I can tell her that I don't like her hair, or I don't like her, the highlights she put in her hair, whatever. Then, you know, I will say, like, over the years, I don't know if people here are just used to seeing me after 17 years and they're sort of like, she's not going to change, so why bother? And I feel like now I've been lucky in local news, and we cover politics, but not to an extent of like a cable show where people mm-hmm. give opinions. We're journalists. We don't give our opinions. So we don't really make people angry in that way. Mm-hmm. Or try not to. We just do our thing. So I don't get a whole lot of it now, but my husband covers the White House.
Mm.
Covered Obama, covered Trump, and now covers Biden. So we've actually had major hate mail. We've had threatening, you know, stuff on social media, threatening letters sent to our house. Like, it's been bad. So, yeah, I mean, I personally have been fortunate. I haven't had a lot of that directed at me recently, but I've seen it with him and,
yeah,
and other people who cover the White House, not just Peter and not just NBC.
Yep, that's just, it's so crazy. Like, yeah. I cannot believe that people...
Especially when you have little kids and you know, you worry about safety, and if something is coming to your home, you know, they know your address. So that's part of being in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fortunately our companies do what they can to protect us, and we're smart about safety. And, and then you just, it's part of, somewhat comes with the territory, but it's unfortunate.
Yeah. If it comes with the territory, maybe, but no one should ever have to deal with that. That is insane.
Yeah.
You cover very serious news on time to time. This past year has been tough, I'm sure, with all the pandemic stories and much more. And then you've had to anchor from your house, sometimes with your husband anchoring his show from the other room in your house, and then your two daughters at home. Since we hear about bad news all the time, can you tell me a good story or a funny story that has happened this past year during COVID?
Yeah. Well, so this is my studio. And you see, there's the camera.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So that's where, and I sit in that chair right there. And then that's my background. This is my laptop where I do like Zoom interviews and stuff. And it's been over a year. And when I started working from home, honestly, I thought it would be like a month or two. It's just crazy. My husband's got a studio in the basement, but honestly, he doesn't use it very often. He's almost always at the White House. It's just there sort of as a backup. But I have a picture. I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, the guy who does that rate my room or room raider. There's a guy on Twitter who like rates people's Zoom backgrounds.
Oh my gosh.
And he actually, it's very funny. And he actually found this photo of us because I was sitting here anchoring and you could see those doors that are right there. And normally I'm done right at 6:00. And every day the kids are kind of waiting right at 6:00 and we have dinner or we go on a bike ride or we walk. And that particular day I had to anchor until 6:30 because I was filling in for someone. And I didn't know at like 6:03 that Ava, my daughter, was standing in the window and she had her pink bike helmet on. And I'm reading like a serious news story and her face is pressed against the window with this pink bike helmet and just looking like, hello, where are you? What are you doing? And of course I didn't know. And all the people back in the studio and the control room were laughing. And they sent, I had viewers who took pictures off their TV, like a screen grab, and sent it to me. And the guy, the Rate My Room, posted it because it's just so cute. Like, it was so representative of what we were all going through,
trying yeah.
to work at home and manage the family.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was one of my favorite stories.
That's adorable. That is so funny. Now on to some more fashion questions, my favorite topic.
Yes.
I think of fashion as more than just the clothes you wear. And I think what you wear can impact your mood, it can impact other people's mood, and it really shows your own personal brand. So I have just a few questions. Do you agree with or think differently about fashion? I noticed you, at least lately, wear a lot of fun, bright colors. Mm-hmm. Have you always done that? What would you say your style is, and how important is it to your job?
Yeah, I wish, honestly wish I was like you and had like a fashion sense and liked it. For me, a lot of times it's been a necessity and I keep it simple. And mm-hmm. sometimes I fall in a rut where I feel like it's a uniform, you know, where everything starts to look the same. Mm-hmm. But I do know with TV in general, solids look best and bright, you know, sort of, bold primary colors, you know, black, brown, beige, those kind of things, they wash you out or they just look blah. And prints can look busy. Mm-hmm. So I've always just been most comfortable in dresses. I don't like pants. I'm not a pants girl unless they're yoga pants and I can't wear those in the studio. I wear mm-hmm. them at home on my home set, but at work I can't. So I wear, I know over the years I can go online and click on what I know is going to fit me. And it's almost always like an A-line kind mm-hmm. of fit and flare dress and a solid color, that a bright color that looks good on TV. Now, other people take more fashion risks than I do and it looks good on them. Mm-hmm. But honestly, when I do that, I never feel myself. And 100% of feeling confident on air is having it all together. If I'm in something that's like tight in the neck and mm-hmm. I'm like trying to concentrate on work and I'm fidgeting or the necklace is hitting me in the wrong place mm-hmm. or, you know, it's tight around the middle, then I can't feel like I can open the diaphragm and breathe. Like there was a time I was wearing Spanx, which was like the most miserable experience trying to anchor the news in Spanx. And there's probably plenty of women who can, but that just did not work for me. So
I don't think it worked for me either.
Yeah. So it's trial and error, but for mm-hmm. me, and there is a stylist that Peter and I both use and she's great. And she helps me find some things that maybe I wouldn't find on my own. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's typically brighter, you know, solid, simple, because you don't want to be distracting, right? Like we're mm-hmm. bring information. And if all people can do is be like, look at her huge hoop earrings. Those are like really annoying, you know, because they're every time she talks, they're like bouncing off her chin. those kind of things are like a dress that looks like too distracting. Then people are just going to focus on that and not what you're saying.
Got it. So definitely what you wear contributes to it. Really, it has to do with your work. You know, you have to be comfortable. You have to make sure you're not too out there with pattern yeah. clashing or anything like that. So it really, it speaks to your job.
You, like your bosses will tell you like, that did not work.
They'll be like, no.
Yeah. And I've had over the 25 years or whatever that I've been in this business, I've had plenty of, you know, oh, I don't like your hair like that. I don't like your that jacket doesn't look good. Like, you know, it doesn't happen a lot now because I kind of know what works for me and what mm-hmm. they're comfortable with, but that's part of the business is the presentation part of it.
Got it. It's just like social media. You just got to learn what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You do a working woman segment featuring powerful, experienced, and extremely successful women. I'm wondering I know you mentioned earlier that when you first started, you worked with a lot of older women that actually helped you in this business. And how important do you think it is for older women to mentor younger women? And how can younger women kind of find mentors?
I think it's very, very important. And I think women, younger women, should just look at who they admire. Who do you want to emulate some of the things mm-hmm. that they do, their style or their reputation? And you ask them, just say, hey, you know, and it's very flattering if you're that person being asked. You want to, unless you aren't a nice person, which I guess that could happen, you could find someone who's like, you know, get lost. I don't have time.
Yeah.
But most of the time, if you want to emulate them, there's a reason, and they will be flattered if you ask for help. And I think that's what you do, is you're in the workplace or in school or wherever you are. If there's somebody you really respect, then ask them. Just say, hey, do you have any tips for me? Or here's a problem I'm having. How would you solve it?
Awesome. Now some quick lightning round questions. Let's see if we can do this in under a minute. I don't know. Just mention whatever pops into your head. One or two word answers is completely fine. What's one beauty item you cannot live without?
Concealer.
What is your guilty pleasure when it comes to fashion? Do you have a favorite designer or item, like a handbag or shoes, that you occasionally splurge on?
Tory Burch.
What's your power color, the color you like to wear when you need a little extra confidence boost?
Red.
Good one. When no one is looking and you need to treat yourself, what do you grab? Food and activity? What's your vice?
For me, a massage, which I haven't had since the pandemic. And I'm dying for one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a good one. Massages are the best. What is the most important beauty routine that you would tell young women to start now?
Sunscreen mm-hmm. is the biggest. And drinking a lot of water.
Definitely. So many young people need to start the sunscreen thing every day.
I know.
What's your favorite animal?
Panda. Oh.
Your favorite sport?
Well, my girls are doing soccer and softball right now, so I can't choose between the two. I'll say both.
Both. Got it. What's your favorite place to eat in DC?
Le Diplomat, awesome French bistro.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It's awesome.
If you are ever alone, what do you do for yourself to relax?
Watch Netflix.
Definitely.
Which
too.
Doesn't happen often at all, but when it does, it's very fun and luxurious.
And if you weren't a TV anchor, what would have been your backup career?
You know, people have asked me that. I don't know. It's literally all I've ever wanted to be. And that's the reason I've never gotten out of the business. Because I'm like, I don't know what I would do. I really don't know. But I'm sure I would figure it out.
Yeah, I have no idea. If I wasn't in fashion, I would be lost. I'd be lost.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so, so much, Allison. I had so much fun talking to you today. I hope you had fun too.
I did, Lexi. Thank you so much. Thank you for asking me to do this.
Oh my God, of course. Thank you seriously so much for coming on. Everyone, you can see Allison every single night at 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. as she anchors the evening news on WJLA in Washington, D.C. And once again, you can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Allison7News. Find her on Facebook by searching Allison Starling. And follow me on my socials, my Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok are all Lexi Silverstein. That's L-E-X-Y, silver like the color, S-T-E-I-N. And remember to make the ordinary extraordinary.